We read the Holy Scripture this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And then after that, we'll read the opening verses of chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. Reading God's Word this morning, also in connection with the installation into the office of our new elders and deacons. Verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 5, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And then if you'll just turn perhaps a page in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, reading the first four verses. 2 Thessalonians 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Let us now for a moment join our hearts together in prayer. Almighty God, we pray that thou would open thy word unto us in this morning hour, that thy spirit might be in the minister, the pastor, this morning, that thou would give him ability that he has not of himself. We pray that thy word in this place might be fruitful and might build us up in true faith and in true love, one with each other. We pray, O God, for these six men who have now been installed into their offices, that thou would equip them with thy spirit, with wisdom, with perseverance, with godliness. That thou, O Lord, would assure them that thou art at their right and left hand, that they may be faithful to thee first, and faithful to us in love. And to bring thy word, always to bring thy precious word, we pray that thou wilt preserve them, for surely we know that at this time, in this world, the devil ceases not his attack upon thy church. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for those men who this day set down their office after 3 years of labor. We thank thee for their faithfulness. We thank thee for the blessing that we have received as a congregation through their work. And we ask for thy great blessing upon them as they take up again their place, an active place in thy church. Remember also at this time the needs of our congregation, which are many, sicknesses and troubles and heartaches. We thank thee for thy goodness to our sister Amy Undersma in the past week. We look into this week and pray for thy grace upon the Carl Potcher family as they place their father in the grave in the hope of the resurrection of the dead. We also rejoice this day with the Wassink family in the birth of a baby girl, Margaret Jean. In all these things, both blessing and trial, we look to thee. We lift up our hand to thee and say, thou art good to us. Now remove from us the busyness of our minds and the many thoughts that would flood if we leave our mind a vacuum. Let it not be a vacuum. Let it be at this time, though it be in weakness, may it be at this time in our mind and heart where the Holy Spirit dwells, where thy word is reverenced, and that our ears are opened to hear thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, our text this morning on the installation of these men into their office is verse 25 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Brethren, pray for us. And then again, you note with me that that is repeated in the second epistle, chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. And then the apostle adds a reason why we should do that, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. The warm relationship that existed between the Apostle Paul and this Thessalonian church comes out in the fact that they mutually prayed for each other. The Holy Spirit is present among us. And evidence of that is when there is prayer of the office bearers for the congregation and the congregation for the office bearers. The apostle in verse 23 of the fifth chapter prayed for them. He prayed not a fluffy prayer, but a very deep prayer. He prayed for our sanctification. He prayed that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved in this present world, even unto the return of Christ, in a godliness and in a holiness in Christ. But then, after praying for them, he urged them to pray for him. Not just for him, but for us, that is, his fellow laborers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because this was so important to him, he repeats it in the second epistle, chapter 3, verse 1. Very important to him. Very important, thus, the Holy Spirit says to you that you pray for the office bearers, the pastor, the deacons, and the elders of our church. God is placing this upon our hearts. I can tell you that we, pastor, elders, and deacons, pray for you. We pray for you in our monthly council and consistory meetings. We pray for you every service before we come out of the consistory room, we pray for you. We pray for you before every visit, every work that we do in the congregation. We pray for you. We pray for you in our homes. By the grace of God, we love you in Christ. And we pray for you. We ask you, in the name of the Lord, this morning, to pray for us. I'd like to point out from the scripture the need, then the content, and finally the command that you have to pray for us. Our text is a request for intercessory prayer. Pray for us. Intercessory prayer is when we pray not directed to ourselves at that point, but to others. Others to whom we are joined in faith, and others that we know are now in a position where they need special grace from God, either to perform their calling or to bear the burden that the Lord has placed upon us. Intercessory prayer. This is a call for intercessory prayer. We remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is our great example when it comes to intercessory prayer. John 17, his high priestly prayer for his church of all ages, just before he went to the cross, he prayed for us. Our needs were on his heart. You remember that in Romans chapter 8, we are told that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He prays so urgently for you and me, the Holy Spirit, for you, congregation, me, all of us. He prays so urgently that words cannot be found now to express the depth and the fervor of those prayers. Now, we also pray for one another. But here, we are not only praying, which is our calling as Christians all the time, to be praying for each other and our needs. And I might add that when that happens, you know that. You somehow know that in your life when others are praying for you. But here we're being taught we need to pray for the office bearers because of the great need that the apostle brings out in chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians, that the word of God may have free course and be glorified among you. The prayer here is directed especially to the office and to the duty of their offices. And therefore we pray that if they are to do that work of the office, we need to pray for them. The work of the minister, the work of the elder, and the work of the deacon all aim at one thing: that the word of God may run through the congregation, and that there be no obstructions, that word, that living word, may flow through the congregation to every heart and to every ear. And therefore, out of that need, we pray. Now note with me that as believers, we have two marks. As believers in Christ Jesus, we have two marks. Those two marks are prayer and love. And where there is prayer in our hearts and love, there will also be intercession for the office bearers of the church. That's the basis of the teaching of the text here. A believer, boys and girls, how do you mark someone who is a true believer? By what they wear? By where they go? Prayer. At the conversion of the Apostle Paul, remember with me Acts chapter 9, Ananias the prophet is called by God, go and anoint Paul's eyes that he may see. And Ananias the prophet says, Lord, you want me to go to him. Do I have that right? Yes. Lord, you're asking me to go into a room with the man who is seeking to destroy the church, who's hauling away anybody who confesses to be a Christian into jail. You want me to go there? Yes. Ananias, he's a changed man. And here's the proof. He prayeth. You will know him as your brother because when you come, he will pray. When the child of God, when you were born, then as a baby, the moment a baby is born, what are you listening for? You're listening for the cry. When you are born again, there will be a prayer. You will cry to God. But not only is a Christian marked by prayer, but he's marked by love for his fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, that he that is begotten of God loves God and those who are also begotten of him. When we are begotten of God, we are given love for God and we are given love for each other. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples and that ye have love one for each other." And in that love is compassion, and by that compassion we can feel and sense and see the needs of each other. Now, the point is that when those two marks are in the congregation, are among believers, when those two marks are there, prayer and love, the result will be intercessory prayer. We will pray for each other in all love, humility, from our hearts. We will not be those who are characterized by gossip or evil speaking, but the love of God will work in us to bring those things to God in prayer, one for each other. And now the apostle is saying, and that must also be true of us for our office bearers. And it must be true for our office bearers because of the position, the such important position that God has conferred upon them in his church. There are really two aspects to that. The first aspect is the importance and the difficulty and the greatness of the work that elders and deacons and pastors are given. I refer to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, where Paul says, "Pray for us that the word of God may have free course." And if you know from the scriptures, the Apostle Paul would say, "I am the most unworthy of all men to ever be in an office. I persecuted the church of God. I have so many weaknesses. I'm the least of all the saints. I'm not worthy. And then I feel," says Paul, "in my office as every true office bearer will feel upon his spiritual shoulders, I feel a great weight, a volume of weight upon me, that I must bring faithfully the word of God and I must hold back nothing, that I serve the Lord." And then Paul would say, "And in this work, I suffer all kinds of opposition, all sorts of attacks of the devil. He marks me out because I'm his servant in the church." And so he would say to the people of God in his epistles, "Pray for me. Pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for me." No man is worthy to be a minister. No man can do that. Pray for me. And pray for the elders. And pray for the deacons. The elders feel a weight on their shoulders. Hebrews 13, verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, the elders, and submit yourselves to them. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, not to men, but to God, that they may do that with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The elders watch over our souls. The form said, they are called of God to see that all things are done decently and in good order in the church, and that in all things Christ is acknowledged as the head of the church. They are called that the people of God live in peace and in godliness. They must be busy going in and out of the members, the lives of the people of the church, caring for them, working with them, helping them. And in that work, they face not only a great volume of work that takes them away from their families, but at times they face opposition and difficulty, and their hearts go out and feel the troubles of others, so that at 4 o'clock in the morning, when they wake up, they can't get back to sleep or can't get to sleep. And the deacons have that great responsibility to distribute, to collect the alms, but they have that great responsibility in all of their work to show to us the mercies of Jesus Christ, the compassions of Christ, the gentleness of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, the strength of Christ in their work. Deacons deal with us in the most sensitive aspect of our life. Our pocketbook, our money, our wages, our spending, our giving, our budgeting, our possessions. Deacons come right into it. And that's difficult work. And deacons' work is ongoing for the most often. They continue to help us and to labor with us and to encourage us as widows and as families. It's over a long period of time. They develop a relationship. They instruct. They help. Sometimes they are tempted to cry out to God for greater wisdom. They need your prayers. Those who come to you in the Lord need your prayers. You are called by Christ to receive us. But you must pray for us. And not only must you pray for us because of the office that we bring to you, Christ, we represent Christ, but you need to remember that we are men. We are not angels. We are as human as you are human. The Lord is not pleased to use angels in his church. He is pleased to use men of like passions as we are. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 2, that he was a minister of the Word of God. And that Word of God is the power unto life and unto death. And then he asks this question, who is sufficient for these things? And that is a rhetorical question. That is, the question gives the answer. Who's sufficient for these things? No one. No one. No one on this planet is sufficient for these things. And so he goes on in the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, to say, our sufficiency is of God. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, when they were Acts chapter 14, the first missionary journey, when they came to Lystra, the Apostle Paul healed a man that was born lame. He was born lame. He never walked a day. Paul healed him. And the people thought that they were gods, Greek gods, and they were all going to come and sacrifice to them. And the Apostle Paul and Barnabas ran in among them and said, sirs, why do you do these things? We are men. of like passions as you. We tick like you tick. Like passions, like lusts, like struggles. Elders and deacons are men like you. Acts chapter 6, choose out from among you who will hold these offices. They grow weary. They wrestle with us in our spiritual struggles. When they open the Word of God and prepare the Word of God to you, it speaks to them. And sometimes they come in their office and in their hearts it's saying, how can I, Lord, pick someone else? How can I bring this Word of God when I am conscious of my own sins and my need of this Word? Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm a child. I can't speak. Moses, at 80 years old, said, I can't do this. You ask Aaron. Brethren, pray. Pray for us. Prayer. We are appealing to that mark that you have from God, in which you come to God. We're appealing to that love that you have in Christ. Pray for us. We can point out from Scripture and with our eye on the form that we just read, we can point out a few specifics, five specifics of our prayer. Pray that your office bearers, elders, deacons, and pastor be faithful men who persevere in their work. The form spoke to us from Scripture of the difficulty of their work. The form said, the persecution of this world, and office bearers face criticism. And in the midst of that criticism, they are tempted to become weary. As I said, office bearers are especially marked out by Satan. He wants the leaders of the church to fall. He wants us to soften, as pastor and elder and deacon, our convictions of the truth of God's word. You notice how the form constantly was calling us to be faithful to the Word of God. There's always the temptation for office bearers to let something slide, to hope that it's going to get better by itself. It's difficult to confront situations. What are people going to say? And office bearers become weary in the work, and so we need to pray, Lord, keep them faithful. Renew their strength. Give them perseverance. Anoint them with thy spirit. You remember Elijah. He was on Mount Carmel. God gave him great strength on the top of Mount Carmel before all of Israel and all the prophets of Baal. Jehovah, he is God. He prayed after that earnestly that there would be rain. And finally, after 3 years, rain fell. And then the next day, he gets a message from Jezebel. You will be dead in 24 hours. And he despaired. And he retreated. And he said, Lord, I am left alone. There's nobody out there. Nobody cares. And they seek my life to destroy it. And then he had to hear, as you remember, that still small voice of God speaking, yet have I 7,000 who have not bowed their knee. We need to pray that they persevere. God has richly blessed this congregation What a privilege. One can only say, what a privilege to serve in this office of pastor, deacon, and elder in this church. But we are sinful. We're not in heaven yet. And the size of our congregation means that there is a lot of work for our office bearers. And then you need to think also of their wives. Pray for their wives and their family. Many, many hours, many evenings away from the family. And now we have young men and elders also with families. Pray for their wives. Pray that they persevere. Pray that they feed us with the Word of God. Pray for them. Pray for their wives and families. And secondly, we must pray that they are given wisdom and patience for us. Every one of us is different. Every one of us have our unique personality. Every one of us have our weaknesses. Every one of us have our strengths from God. Every one of us have our besetting sins. We don't like to be told about our besetting sins. We are all able foolishly to go astray, especially in this present world, to be seduced out of the church and fall away. And there are many difficult things within our hearts. Our hearts can be despairing. Our hearts can be hurt. Our hearts can be overwhelmed. They can be resentful. They can be angry. They can be bitter. The office bearers come to you with the Word of God. They need wisdom. They need a wisdom from heaven. They need patience. They need understanding. They need strength to know how to bring that Word of God, that it is right for us. They need a love that will endure for us. Solomon, when he began as king over all Israel, said, Lord, how am I going to judge? I'm to judge this thy so great a people? As I said, Moses said the same thing. How am I to do this? I lack the wisdom. And the Lord gave him faithfulness. And the Lord gave him perseverance. And for 40 years, he labored faithfully. And then one morning, he just had had enough. And he looked only inside. And he did not look outside. He was 120 years old. He was that old. And he broke in his frustration. And he forgot that they were God's people. Pray for us that we have wisdom and that we have patience and that it is rooted principally in the Word of God and in the love for the church. Pray that it might be true of the pastor and the elders and the deacons, what Paul says, I have learned. I've learned. I'm always learning. Would be true of Paul, but I have learned to become all things to all men, that I may gain the more. Number three, we need to pray for their heart. We need to pray for the hearts of our elders and deacons that they be sensitive to the Word of God. They hold, as we read, and as I've said, special offices in the church. And those special offices of the church, given to be filled by men, have authority from God in the church. But these men need shepherds' hearts. These men need to be revealing and reflecting the Good Shepherd. Pray for their hearts. Pray that God give them empathy That's to feel with, to feel the same. Sympathy and compassion. That they have compassion. And pray above all that their heart will love the Lord and will be true to the Lord. Jeremiah 3:15, God will give us pastors after my own heart, after my own heart. And with the office, brethren, with this office comes an attack and a temptation to your heart. Because the office puts you out in the congregation, it's gives you a special place in the congregation, gives you a place that people are to look up to. You're here in the front row. You are the elders and deacons of this church. You have been given a place. What does the flesh do to that? Your flesh, my flesh, exalts myself. And we begin to think highly of ourselves and that we will have the preeminence among the people of God. 3 John 9 of a man called Diotrephes, John writes of him, he was causing all kinds of troubles in the church. He loved to have the preeminence. Pray. Pray for our hearts. Fourthly, pray that our office bearers be godly. Godly examples to the flock, that they may maintain godliness in their personal lives, in their marriages, in their families. They represent Christ. Sin is sin. That's true. But we represent now the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, remember the first words that Jesus Christ spoke through the Apostle Paul to the elders, also to the deacons, and to the pastor of Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 28. The first words that he spoke was, "Take heed to thyself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you an overseer to feed the flock of God, which the Son of God has purchased with his own blood." We deal with people who have been purchased with the blood of God, God's Son. We must feed these people, this congregation, the Word of God. How do we do that? Take heed, take heed, take heed to yourself. That you are always, as an elder, a deacon, pastor, close to the Lord. Do we understand how easy it is for us to be deluded by Satan and to be deceived by Satan, even in the midst of doing the Lord's work? Yes, especially then in doing the Lord's work, we can be deluded. We can be deceived. All of us can be deceived by Satan. Pray that God keep our pastor and our elders and our deacons spiritually pure, morally pure, an example to the flock. They are men. One slip, one word, one act, and it can bring such shame on Christ. David, when kings went out to battle, which means that he should have been out battling, stayed home because he thought he had scored enough points. And he fell. And he deluded himself. Pray that the office bearer be watchful of their own soul, of their families, of their marriages, of their children, of their personal walk with God. And then finally, pray that God will make the work of our office bearers fruitful and that God will bless. Unless the Lord bless the work, they labor in vain that build the city. We must pray that God will make the work fruitful, that God bless each visit that the deacons make to the needy and to the widow and to the hurting, each visit that the elders make to families and to individuals and to persons, that God will bless each sermon and make it fruitful, that God will bless the work of catechism and the teaching, that God will bless all the labors of the elders and deacons. When they come to you, not only pray for yourself that you have the right attitude and that you receive the word as it is from Christ, but pray for them that they might receive the grace of God to bring that word of God to you. We need pastors and elders and deacons, faithful men of God who love the Holy Scriptures and the Reformed biblical faith. We need them. We need them to faithfully care for us. We want their work to be blessed and to be fruitful in this place. Brethren, pray for us that we be faithful and persevere, that we be wise and patient, that we have hearts and are given hearts even as Christ, that we be godly, and that our work be not in vain, but that it be fruitful by his blessing. We need your prayers. We are bringing you this word, certainly as your brothers in the Lord. We are your brothers in the Lord. But now, as pastor, I tell you that the text does not bring the request of six men, of all the elders and deacons and pastor, but the text brings us the call of Christ. Christ does not only call us as a congregation to receive them. Christ has called us to pray for them. This is Christ's exhortation. My brethren, pray for your pastor, elder, and deacon in this church every day, boy and girl, single, family, pray for them. It's imperative. Jesus says, do this in Georgetown. It's in the present tense, which means keep on praying for them. Don't stop. I've appointed these men over you. I'm pleased to use these men. You must receive them, for when they come, I come to you. I want you to receive them. I'll inquire in the day of days whether you receive them. I will. But I want you to do more than that. I want you to pray for them. And I will inquire about that too. That you pray in gratitude for them. And that you pray that they might perform their labor. That there be a warm relationship in this congregation between congregation and and office bearers. A warm relationship which is founded on prayer for each other and love of God. And in this late hour of this earth, God will be glorified among us. We must not let these men be alone in their office and task. We must pray to heaven for them. And may God bring rich fruit to the glory of his name. Amen. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou art the faithful, that thou art the wise. We thank thee that thy heart is the heart that is true. We thank thee that thou art holy. We thank thee that every work that thou hast put thy hand to will accomplish thy purpose, and in thy mercy will be fruitful. So, as these men have taken up their office and have vowed before us in the name of Christ to be faithful, so also we would on this morning as thy children take upon us a vow that we will not forget them and that we will pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen.